Good morning, good afternoon, guys. We're back for another Geek Tavern. As always, it's me, Agent S. We're joined by Mikey and Agent A. How are you doing today?
Well, I got nothing on that one.
How's your home planet?
In shambles.
Oh, that's terrible.
He's a refugee from his home planet, seeking asylum on Earth.
Yeah, I came across the Mexican border. As an illegal alien in two different ways.
Yeah. As you can tell, we will be talking about Men in Black.
We are? I thought we were doing Reservoir Dogs.
Oh, no.
No.
I must say, that is a great opening to the movie.
I thought this was subplot.
Oh.
Oh, no.
We're all screwed up.
Damn.
Who neuralized us?
What's that?
What? What did I say?
Who are you?
Where am I?
But yeah. If you haven't seen Men in Black, then I don't know what to tell you.
Nah,
it's a pretty large franchise.
Yeah, you're missing a classic.
One of our favorite directors and people working in the industry.
Barry Sonnenfeld. If you're watching, Barry, please make RV2. I have a spec script drawn up.
You haven't been returning to my emails?
Hit me up, man. I got a sequel in the works. It's going to be great.
But I guess if you want to synopsize, I don't know.
I mean, like you said, if people haven't seen this
movie. My synapses are literally fried after trying to understand that sentence.
Yeah, exactly. I was trying to see how that would work grammatically, but.
I mean, basically, we follow, what is his actual name? Because, like, we're not supposed to remember it. James,
I don't remember.
Edwards. James Edwards.
Yeah, James Edwards.
So, basically, that's basically what we're doing, is we're following James Edwards.
His journey to enlightenment.
His journey to, enlightenment, and shooting little Tiffany in the forehead.
I love that scene, too.
You think little Tiffany deserved to die?
I mean, that's what this is going to be, is just us talking about our favorite scenes.
Oh, yeah.
That's all it's going to be.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's a great movie.
So basically, Tommy Lee Jones' character, Agent K, is, without Agent J knowing, he's training his replacement. He's ready for retirement.
But anyone who's watched the movies knows
he comes
out of retirement.
The movie, yeah. So James is pursuing an alien who he's just like a beat cop in Philadelphia. And he's just like...
No, he's in New York.
Oh,
he's
New York,
NYPD.
Whatever.
Okay,
yeah.
Knock wherever. Your punk ass down.
You're thinking of Fresh Prince.
Either way, he's a beat cop in New York, and he's chasing down a perp, and he ends up being an alien. He's a witness to that, because he has incredible feats of strength, climbing of a building, and then...
Yeah, just
with his iris blinking is completely different than how humans do, and then
I forgot to fact check this. That wasn't Ray Park, was it?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Might have been. Yeah. He was big at the time.
Yeah.
He was a big stunt guy. He was towed.
I'll look that up while you continue.
Yeah. But he basically realizes he isn't human, and then he kills himself. And then we're introduced with K. He meets him, and then he starts training him for the Men in Black program.
The alien kills himself, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, because the way you said that was he realizes
he's
human.
Does he kill himself?
He falls off the building.
I thought he just landed and ran away.
I'm pretty sure he dies.
Okay.
I don't know. I can't remember if he lived or died, but...
But we touched on the opening scene. I think it's a great opening scene where they introduce the alien that's traveling over the border of Mexico,
right.
The refugee, and Tommy Lee Jones is speaking to him in Mexican, calling him ugly and in like a dirty...
You're very ugly, aren't you?
Yeah, and he just like starts, he's like laughing along with him, he's like, hey. He has a human head on the stick.
But then he talks, he doesn't speak English, or Spanish, but he speaks perfect English. So as an alien, you'd think that you would know all types of language on the planet. But...
I don't know.
I was going to say, it seems like, it's kind of like, whenever I think about that, I'm like, yeah, for maybe a really advanced species, but like you think about District 9, they barely understand English as is. Like they crash landed here, like, and they have learned the language over like a generation or so, but they barely know it.
Well,
yeah.
To touch on that, they land in South Africa, so... they have to learn Afrikaners and English, and Afrikaners is a wild language in itself. Yeah. So, but yeah, that's a great movie too.
It is a good movie.
Yeah, it's a great introduction to Agent K and just like the type of character he is. He's just like. Like, yeah, he's no nonsense, but he goofs around a bit, too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'll jump forward to the climax of the movie. Whenever he intentionally gets eaten, he's like, well, yeah, he did that so that he could get his gun back. Like, it's such a great scene.
Yeah.
He blasts his way out of, at the end of the movie. But,
blasts his way out of Vincent D'Onofrio.
Yeah. Yeah, so the main plot is basically that, as you said, K is training J to be his replacement, but they're main tracking down an alien that had crash landed in like the middle of nowhere and is attempting to get Orion's belt. I don't actually know his motivation very well. I guess I never really understood that.
Orion's belt is its own galaxy.
Yeah,
like, basically you have a galaxy so it somehow gives you power is what I always thought.
Yeah, it's kind of like a... I don't know. The way I think about it is it's a MacGuffin that makes you, like, royalty or something
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, I guess that is really his own...
Yeah.
Because, yeah, it's just him searching out Orion's belt, but, like, his motivation is a little unclear. They might have mentioned it in the movie, like, whenever they were in the office, but maybe it is just like if you have it, then you become like a warlord or like you,
yeah,
like a royal or something.
I don't know if it's an actual magical like power,
yeah,
but it kind of seems like it because what else would it be, really?
I mean, you're, I guess it would be like you're ruling over that galaxy because you have it in your possession,
yeah.
So
yeah.
I guess that's kind of the idea behind it because. They mentioned briefly at the beginning of the movie, it's like galaxies could be the size of a marble, you know, like, and then it's a keychain on a cat. Orion.
Named Orion.
Yeah. It's a great, great payoff scene. Yeah. I love the training sequences as you brought up whenever, like he's just like, Agent J is just like outclassing like these Navy SEALs and like air force guys. And he's just like, you know, acing these tests,
yeah.
And these guys are like trying their hardest and flunking like crazy, especially the shootout scene where they're like blasting all of these aliens. And
the whole segment is just,
yeah,
it's just nostalgic gold for me.
Yeah.
Like,
I don't want to bust a cap in his ass. He ain't snarling, he's sneezing. How would you feel if I rolled up on you and busted a cap in your ass when you're just trying to get pump some iron?
And then,
Agent J.
So why?
Would you like to tell me why you think little Tiffany deserved to die?
First off, why is she walking down this alley at 11 o'clock midnight? Second,
you got a seven-year-old girl.
Seven-year-old girl carrying a calculus book. Come on, man.
Yeah. It was advanced physics, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Advanced
yeah,
advanced physics.
Yeah,
yeah.
It was something that a seven-year-old should not
yeah.
be reading.
That's so great because
I liked it if you ease up off my back about it.
all these guys are just like, like killing all these aliens, and he's just like.
Assessing the situation. Shot.
Yeah. Yeah, great. Great movie.
Just that, even before that, him, like, them filling out the paper test.
Yeah.
And then he pulls the table. Like, it's so loud and obnoxious, but it's so good.
Yeah, I mean, that's really what the whole test was about, was your ability to adapt and observe
adapt
and
the
everything.
Situation, yeah.
And all those other guys were just like, you know, obviously soldiers and like military guys, so like they're
Captain
just like,
America over here.
Yeah.
The best
America,
of the best of the
best,
best
of
sir.
The best of the best, sir.
With honors, you know.
Yeah.
I can quote this whole movie.
It's a very quotable movie. Yeah.
I mean, it's only elevated by the amazing chemistry that Will Smith and
Tommy
Lee Jones
it's
have
so
together.
Good.
Yeah, they're great.
I mean, that's why they... It's like it's almost like they had this storyline, and they really didn't expect Tommy Lee Jones to come back.
Mm.
Or maybe not even expect to do a second movie. But when they finally got the green light for the second movie, they're like, oh shit, we need Tommy Lee Jones back.
Yeah,
we're not here to talk about that.
Because you really couldn't do a sequel without him. Which is why the fourth one kind of went...
Well, he wasn't in the third one either.
No, he was.
Was he?
Mm-hmm.
Not a lot of it.
No, but he was in it at the beginning and the end because it's the whole time travel thing.
Right.
So he goes back and meets Josh Brolin playing Agent a young Agent K.
Which is, he's so perfect.
Perfect. Yeah, he's perfect casting.
We didn't watch those movies, though.
No. We're not here to talk about those.
Well, I caught the second one on TV, actually.
Wow, lucky you.
I just found out the first one's on Vudu.
I mean, they're all, like, constantly being replayed on, like, TBS and TNT. Well, so, yeah, but...
When I was looking for where to watch it, it had Amazon listed, but it said, for the price tag of $13.65. I was like, what?
That's a weird
price. I literally bought Peter Jackson's King Kong for $3.99.
To rent?
In 4K UHD.
Oh.
Buy it.
Yeah.
For my TV.
I mean, sometimes they have those deals.
Why is Men in Black that expensive?
Well, you probably caught a deal.
Oh, I think
They have, like, sales and stuff.
Yeah. But I was like, ooh, and I click. But then I went to, like, watch Men in Black, and I was like, what?
It's another testament of how good the movie is and how, like, well it's been received.
I mean, that
like,
price tag, I'm pretty happy with. I'd be happy with that price tag.
Yeah.
I mean, that pricing and then that fact that it's constantly being replayed on cable and everything. Like,
well, that doesn't help the price tag. But...
Well, yeah, certainly not syndicated. I'm sure that Will Smith and Tommy Lee Jones are getting a nice check from this every now and then.
This has nothing really to do
Neither
with
of them have to work ever again.
No.
No, definitely not.
This really doesn't have anything to do with the movie itself. But we've had the conversation of the lost art of DVD menus.
Yes.
I took my DVD version because I went to a friend's house and watched it, and they only have a DVD player. But,
sorry, something got caught in my throat there.
But,
don't you throw up on my suit.
Went to a friend's house and watched the DVD version.
Don't say it again.
I tried to fix it so we could edit it out. So I took it over to a friend's house, and it came on with this elaborate menu. Like, what the hell happened to these awesome menus?
And even their Blu-rays, like, Blu-rays, they could have, like, there was, like, a certain special thing. They actually mentioned this on the Superbad, I think it's Superbad, the Blu-ray, because, like, you could have, like, an uninterrupted, like, 30-minute or, like, 1 hour long, like, menu. And it was literally just Michael Cera dancing.
Yeah. No, yeah. Like, there's one menu in particular that I really have always loved, and it's when they re-released The Terminator, like, in 2008, 2009, because they were going to be doing Salvation, so they re-released it.
Yeah.
That menu is so cool, because it, like, opens and you're in the future war, and it, like, goes into Skynet, and then there's, like, a whole assembly line of, like, the Terminators, and then it, like, zooms in on just one Endoskull, and then it pops up and has, like, the play, scene selection, all that, and while it's doing that, it does, like, a turntable of that skull with the music playing. Like, DVD menus used to be awesome.
Wow.
Like, they used to be entertaining in themselves. Like,
oh, yeah.
Sometimes you just wanted to, like, watch it just to see what it did.
Yeah, yeah.
And, yeah.
But aside from that part of it, I was rather surprised. I put it in widescreen mode, and, like, it looked pretty good.
Yeah.
On current TV.
Widescreen DVDs, even though they are DVDs, they're widescreen. They typically look pretty
good. Because I put in other DVDs, and it looks like garbage.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, honestly, how did I even watch it?
There was something, like... This is the last thing I'm going to say about, like, DVD, but there was something that I was watching on the Movies That Made Us, where they were talking about the stop motion, and Phil Tippett was talking about putting the motion blur on to make it, like, a little bit seamless, and how it looked so much better in the 90s, like, when they perfected stop motion. And I feel the same way about DVD, because there are movies like Avatar that if you watch it in Blu-ray, it's just like, this is so CG. But if you watch it in standard definition... There's a little bit of that motion blur that kind of makes it look a little bit more believable to me.
Right, yeah.
Like, some things on Blu-ray I want to watch on Blu-ray. But some things that are, like, CGI heavy, I think almost look a little bit better in standard definition. Because it doesn't look as... What's the word? It doesn't look as computer generated. Like, it kind of... grits it a little bit to where it looks more like it could be. Yeah, like it could be more real.
Mm-hmm. And the inverse of that, imagine putting Avengers Endgame in a DVD player and watching it in standard definition.
Because special effects... putting the Blu-ray in it and like telling it to play it, and all you hear is as it spins and starts to smoke.
But, and the inverse of that, like, special effects are so good now that you try and watch them in standard definition, it would probably look fucking terrible.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I want to try? Because I have a VHS player. I want to try to capture, like, a newer
Blu-ray
movie.
Quality on a VHS. Blu-ray. That's an experiment.
I want to do that.
We're going to do a video on that.
Like, I just want to know.
Me too.
Oh, no.
Somebody actually has done that, they said.
I'm sure.
But I've never, like, seen it.
Well, you can buy VHS. There's, I forget who it is, but I remember somebody on YouTube was talking about it. You can buy current movies on VHS. Like, somebody does that.
Huh. It's lucrative, especially for people who are very nostalgic.
Yeah, know? I don't know why anybody would want to watch
it. I think it's more of a collectible thing.
Yeah, because, like, at that point, like, VHS...
Because they make, like, cool art, art for
VHS will eventually die, like, not that... It's already dead, but, like, it will eventually...
Yeah, it will not have a renaissance a la vinyl.
No.
Because there's no shot.
I mean, it's kind of already
movies
happened.
On vinyl. It's just the audio.
Laserdisc is back, baby.
It's just the audio of the movies, and they're like, "Okay, close your eyes and just imagine it." Like,
what I'm saying is, people will still buy vinyls now. Like, it's having its own resurgence.
Yeah.
But VHS will not have that renaissance.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because
you're never gonna
have
that again.
Yeah, it's just not happening.
The closest thing we're gonna get is what I just mentioned.
Yeah. Anyway, back to the movie.
Yeah. 8-track's on the rise.
Cassettes are back. Anyway.
What are we talking about?
I don't know.
We just hit ourselves a neuralizer there.
We got
there.
Neuralizered again.
Damn it.
Those scenes are great whenever they're neuralizing people and they just, like, make up some bullshit.
I mean, the
especially the first time that Will Smith does it when he's just like, or I think it's this movie where he's like, what are you even doing here anyway? And he's like, he has to hit him again. Maybe that's the second
one. That's the second one because he doesn't get the neuralizer till the end.
Yeah, it's in the second one whenever they're in the subway.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Does he do it's not in this one. It's in the second one where he's like, he neuralizes the whole people at the market.
Yeah.
And then he's like, okay, flush a goldfish down. He's like, you know how there's a lot of pollutants in the sewer?
Oh, no, that was this one.
I thought it was this
one. Yeah, that's when they neuralized everybody on the street when they're shooting at Edgar.
Yeah.
Well, he's also fantastic in this movie. Vincent D'Onofrio.
I didn't know
Vincent
who he was until...
He's
a transformative actor.
Yeah.
Like, he's unrecognizable, in my opinion, in this role. Like, I could not tell that it was him.
He looks absolutely disgusting, towards the end.
It's not actually... That's a face prosthetic.
Oh.
That's a whole bust prosthetic.
Okay.
Because at the beginning, when he goes out off the back porch when the ship crashes, that's him. You can tell that's him.
Right.
But after that, it's a prosthetic.
Oh, of the guy's face. Of the guy.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a prosthetic that
it's still the
wears.
Actor, though.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
But it's like, it's a silicone prosthetic, so it's like right on his face, so
that
the
probably,
movements match with everything.
That definitely adds to him
that
feeling like he's like... wearing it as
because
like the way that he moves and stuff, it's like, oh my god,
he's wearing
he's very bug-like. I'll say that.
His movements are,
and actually
phenomenal.
I didn't know that until I think it was this morning.
I mean,
I was,
it makes
like,
sense.
Looking up something, and
I didn't know
I was
that
looking
at all.
Up Edgar, and then I kept seeing all these pictures of this bust that was like on display, and then it was like on your props website and stuff like that, and I was like, that was a silicone like prosthetic that he wore. And upon further
practical,
research,
practical effects
are amazing, man.
It's so good when he gets back to that.
But yeah, there needs to be a renaissance of practical effects in Hollywood.
They tried with Star Wars and people didn't like it.
No, I don't think
that's what they didn't like.
Yeah.
No, that's what the whole trilogy was about. Because
we were talking
practical effects.
We were talking briefly before we started recording about the new Ghostbusters movie that's coming out.
Yeah.
And there was like, I don't know if you've seen the new trailer or not.
I did.
But there's like ghosts in there, like completely CGI. And they look good. They're like, it does look more scary, though.
Mm-hmm.
Like, but there's something about like how they looked in 1 and 2 that's like so special, you know? Where it's just like the...
Yeah, because they would do it like they did in Raiders of the Lost Ark, where they literally had like people or puppets like underwater in like a tank that was like underlit, so that they moved very fluidly,
like a floating
and then they would just filter it out and then overlay them into the shot, and it looks like a ghost.
Right.
Like, and it looks so real. Like, yeah. Go back to doing stuff like that, because it looks way more real than a CGI.
It's probably just more expensive at this point, or more time-consuming.
Oh, it's definitely more time-consuming, because a CGI artist in a sweatshop can make a ghost in, like, 15 minutes. And like, yeah, we're done.
Yeah, the life of Pi slaves can
15 minutes of rendering or 3 hours of makeup.
Yeah. On it, but
or,
honestly,
or 8 hours of makeup.
Yeah, it really, I mean, you know, that's a whole other discussion. Yeah.
we're going to talk about the death of cinema next week.
But the extras, I'm going to call them extras, like all the aliens in the background.
Oh, they're fantastic.
They're all fantastic.
I love the, I don't even know what they're called, the shrimp looking things.
Worms.
Yeah, worms.
Yeah, the worms.
Yeah.
They're all drinking coffee. Just standing by the water cooler. And like, are they employed there, or are they just hanging out?
I think they're hanging out.
They're just hanging out like every other alien, I think.
Is the pug in this one, Frank? Is he in this one?
He's the one that gives them the tidbit about it being very small. Like,
oh, right, right.
Yeah, because Kay picks him up and just starts, like, shaking him.
When they're walking up, Jay's like, oh, yeah, that dude's definitely an alien. Talking about the guy standing beside him. You hear Frank's the alien.
That guy's definitely an alien.
And then the people on the street are just watching Kay just, like, shake this pug.
I love,
It's okay, the dog owes him money.
It's, yeah. the scene where they're, like, it's Rip Torn and he's telling Jay about every, like, all these prolific aliens. And it's, like, Andy Warhol and, like,
which Andy Warhol shows up in the third one. Yeah. There's a payoff for that.
There is.
Bill Hader paid.
And, like, all these other, and it's, like, his, like, middle school teacher. And he's, like, I always knew there was something off about her. I think one of them was Richard Nixon, too. Was that?
Probably, yeah.
I don't remember.
Sylvester Stallone.
Oh, yeah, he was one.
I still would
that. That's a good
that.
Way to
I
get it.
I believe that today.
I think Richard Simmons was one.
Oh, yeah.
Too.
He was one too.
Michael Jackson is
Agent M.
Agent M.
I could be Agent
is,
M.
Yeah, is this,
he is an alien, though.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Is it in this
that's
movie?
That's in the second one.
I think that's
okay,
the second one,
second
yeah.
One. Okay.
Yeah.
There's a lot of parts, like, because you go to kind of the same places in one and two, so it,
yeah,
I know,
yeah.
Like, it's hard to distinguish
yeah.
What happens in which one.
Except for there's no Johnny Knoxville in this one.
Oh my god, I forgot about
that. No Johnny Knoxville and no Lara Flynn Boyle.
Patrick Warburton.
Oh yeah, that's right. Forgot all about
he
you.
Tries to be a hero, which is, as we see in this movie, clearly what the job isn't about.
No.
Yeah, you're doing it to save the planet, not, you know, to be recognized. I love the exposition.
Being a hero in itself.
Yeah. But I love the exposition dump scene whenever it's the octopus or alien that's like, they're fleeing New York. We're like, we gotta find him. And they're like, why are you leaving without, like, you know, you're supposed to notify us before you try and leave the planet.
Right.
And they're like, we just have to leave. Because, like, they know that the creature landed on the planet.
Yeah,
they're like, we gotta get the hell out of here.
Yeah.
Yeah, because isn't there an armada coming? Or is that the second one, too? That's the second one. They call the armada in the second one.
No, I think,
or is it the third one? No.
The third one.
It's the third one because Kay has to set up, like, the Arknet.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But no, it happens in the second one.
There's an Archelian battleship in this one.
That's
what it's called.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's what it was.
Yeah, the Archelian battleship.
I think that's what shows up and kind of creeps out. They know that they're coming, I think, too.
Now, those are the people who, the people who are fleeing New York, they're the ones that have the Kit Fisto baby?
Yes.
Okay.
Kit Fisto. Yeah. Are they both aliens, or is one of them human?
I think one of them's human.
Yeah, I think
because she births the baby. Like,
well, yeah, she's got like tentacles throwing Jay around.
Yeah, she. I think she's the alien, and I think he's human.
Oh, okay.
So, I don't.
I always felt like he was alien too, because they had info on him.
Yeah,
because he shows his other registration.
Maybe they just have info on him because he's married to an alien. Like,
well, no, they ask him for his other
homeworld.
Oh,
his other
okay.
Registration.
I gotcha.
So he's also alien somehow. We just never see probably his true form.
Yeah, I imagine it's just another squid like that.
Yeah, they're probably the same species, probably.
But this is a good like detective movie. Like they get the lead from them, and then they hunt down like they like trying to find the I don't remember what he is, the bug
the
that's
bug.
Trying to
yeah.
like you know gonna eventually take over the planet. They go visit Tony Shalhoub to get weapons.
And then blow his head off.
Oh my god.
That's a great scene. He's a great character,
how'd
too.
How do you know it's gonna grow back? It grows back? That's the second one.
Yeah. We didn't get to go on the Men in Black ride universe.
No. Unfortunately.
I don't even know. We didn't even, like, walk past it.
Still there?
Yeah, oh yeah, it's still there. Okay. Because the big, the ship, the saucer things,
yeah,
are still there.
Yeah.
Okay.
And there's a ride that's similar to Rise of the Resistance, like, where you're in carts, and you move around, and you shoot aliens, like, from the cart.
I remember seeing an ad on
one
of the VHSs, actually.
Yeah. It's a cool ride, but, like, it was weird because, well, there was a lot of things in the Universal we couldn't find. Like, you could see it from a distance, but how to get there, you didn't know. Like,
yeah.
They didn't give me a map?
We tried to find Diagon Alley for, what, an hour and a half?
Oh, my God. Yeah,
kept seeing the dragon, and we were chasing that dragon because we never found it.
Yeah, we could see, like, we were, like 200 yards away, and we could see it in the distance, and we're like, oh, we just go that way, and then we walk that way, and then it just... Could never find
stop it.
Oh my god.
Yeah. We were like, what? maybe weird. We had to go around Simpsons World and then like loop in. I don't know. I've got no idea.
I don't know.
But we did find noisy crickets.
Yes, we did.
Nice.
Yeah, there's a lot of like movie prop places that had like different kind of things like that there, which was pretty neat.
That's awesome. Speaking of noisy cricket, that was always one of my favorite scenes as a kid, for some reason.
I don't understand. So, do you think it's a lesson that Kay's trying to give Jay, like, you know, don't judge a book by its cover kind of thing?
Yeah,
Kay has that massive thing and he hands him this little thing and it's like, because you're not going to give, like, a rookie, like, the most powerful gun, right?
But it is the most powerful
gun. Yeah, like, I know that, like...
he's, like, knocking cars.
Yeah, I know it's, like, a lesson, but, like, that's so irresponsible of Kay to do that. He's like...
Well, it is, kind of, yeah.
And he's like, do not point that thing at me.
Whoa.
He's just like...
like I just said, I love hearing Will Smith scream in any movie, because he's always like... Ah! that's scream.
The Will Smith scream.
We have the Wilhelm scream and we have the Will Smith scream.
I love the one scene where they have like the ball and he's like bouncing it around.
Oh,
and he's like, careful with that thing. It caused the Chicago blackout.
I forget the year, but
then when he finds out the car can fly, towards the end.
Well, kid, don't hit the red button.
Don't hit the red button.
Don't ever hit the red button.
And then they're playing Elvis, and he says something about, I forget what he says, and then Kay goes, no, he goes, he didn't die, he just went home. Like, implying bow, bow, that Elvis was an alien.
Elvis
also makes sense.
Yeah.
Also, that's what they say about Elvis, isn't it?
Yeah, he said he went home, so he, like, left Earth.
Right, but, like, in real life, they say
that,
I thought.
I've never heard that before.
Maybe it came from the movie, and I'm just...
I imagine.
Somebody built, like, a whole theory on this, and they're like, hey.
Maybe it was a reference to,
like,
that.
Like, I literally thought that Elvis fans have always said that. But
I'm sure there's a cult of Elvis fans who are like,
well, there is.
He was an alien.
They're called Elvis impersonators.
Yeah.
He was an alien, and he went home.
Do you think that the MIB actually exists?
Yes.
Where they're hiding the existence of aliens from the general public?
I
don't know if they're necessarily alien centric.
I can't, like,
probably shouldn't put this on YouTube.
I can't say whether I believe it or not, but, like, when I was younger, I read, like, stories, like, in books, like, where people, kept saying that they were visited by just men in black suits,
yeah,
who just came to question them after they like would see a UFO or something,
yeah,
and then they're like, you didn't see anything, and they're like, okay. Like, I don't know,
it,
like,
was swamp gas from it.
my whole theory, if it was true, is maybe it was some type of test that they were working on and didn't think anybody would see it. And then somebody saw it, and they're like, okay, well, you need to shut up about it, because this is not public information.
Right.
So, I'm thinking maybe it was just FBI guys showing up to intimidate people, and, like, you don't hear anything. Like, that was back in, like, the 40s and the 50s when you could do that stuff. It's not really inconspicuous if you show up in black suits to, like, confront somebody, and they're like, hey,
There's still videos today.
Yeah, that's one thing about, like, obviously, you can get away with that back in the day. But, like, even, like, 20 years ago, you could probably still do it. But, like, they came out with that new one now. There's no shot that, like, people are going to, like, be walking around in black suits, like, talking to people. And, like, you see, like, people neuralize them. Like, somebody's going to get that on video.
Well, I'm not talking about actual neuralizers. I'm just talking about...
Well, I'm just saying in the idea of the movie.
There's right, one yeah. story in particular that always, like... Now, of course, it's all speculation. It's one eyewitness's story because the two men were never found or anything yeah. like that. But they said that they were visited by two men in black suits, and they were questioning him about what he saw, or she, I forget who they were interviewing. But she said that the one, I think it was a she, that the one man looked odd. Like, he had no facial hair, like, and he had no eyebrows or anything like that, and he had his sunglasses on inside. And according to her recant of the story, is towards the end of their conversation when he was trying to convince her that she didn't see anything, and she's like, well, you know, like, arguing with them back and forth, that he took a half dollar out of his pocket and levitated it in the air, and then it disappeared, and he told her, nor you or anyone else on this planet will ever see that coin again. And then they told her, they're like, you didn't see anything, do not say another word of this. Like, and that was, like, the story, and people were like, oh, so was he an alien? Like, did that just to intimidate her? Like, hey, listen, we're not supposed to be here, you're not supposed to tell anybody we are here. Like, I don't know. Like I said, it's all speculation. Yeah. I can't say whether I believe it or not, but they're interesting reads. That's the best way to put it.
They made a whole movie about it.
That's right.
It's like the opening to Men in Black 2.
Actually, they made a comic book series about it. Then the movie.
That's true.
Then an animated series.
Yeah, the animated series is also great.
I do like the animated
series. I've never seen it.
Oh, it's very good, yeah. Yeah, it's great. I recommended it. I don't know if you can find it anywhere now.
Yeah, you can, actually. And it's on a streaming service, and I can't remember which one. But
I'll look it up later.
Maybe I know HBO that Max. It's... I think it might be on Paramount Plus.
Through I haven't tried that yet.
Through Nickelodeon.
Yeah.
Because I think they have it on there.
Anybody have that?
Nobody owns Paramount Plus.
All right.
If you know someone who owns Paramount Plus... put their user and password in the comments, please.
How's the new iCarly show?
Yeah, how's that revival going?
Not great.
Do we have to resuscitate it?
Yeah, basically. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what else. I think to the say only thing we didn't talk about gushing about it.
Yeah, the other thing we really didn't mention was the end sequence. Really?
Yeah, the climax where they battle
the bug.
Bug.
Yeah,
Vincent Bug.
Yeah, like
Bug still looks good.
Oh yeah, I mean
it's not today's standards.
It's dated, but it still looks.
Yeah,
good.
It still looks great. It's no
it's late '90s.
It's no Davy Jones from Pirates of the Caribbean, but
that still boggles my mind.
Yeah, he looks he still looks fantastic. Yeah. But it's still all right.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah, it's. Maybe because I watched it in DVD.
Oh, that could be it.
You know. May look pretty good.
I love that whole sequence where Jay just starts stepping on cockroaches, and he's like, "Oh, sorry, did that upset you?" And he's like,
"Is that your cousin?
Yeah, was that your auntie?
Oh yeah, your auntie.
Is that your mama?"
I forget exactly what all he says at that.
I was trying to think if this movie came out before or after Starship Troopers, and I think it came out after Starship.
Definitely
Troopers.
After.
Yeah. There was like a whole alien bug type of vibe that people were going for.
Wonder why bugs.
I don't know.
Bugs are creepy.
They are. Yeah.
I mean, it's an easy thing to be like, an alien would just be like a huge crustacean, you know, something like that. Like, True. Like there's always this like idea that aliens are going to be humanoid or whatever. It's like, no way. Like, if they're aliens, they're going to be like something that we can't even imagine, or like... They're going to be like a squid or like a giant cockroach or something like that.
But they are humanoids.
Huh. Huh?
They shape
No, there's no way. I mean, there could be a shape to the alien.
I literally, like, you said giant crustaceans, and all I could imagine was an alien invasion that just turns into a huge crab. like they do that after they overtake Earth. Like, that's how they celebrate, is just the giant crab race.
Oh my god.
There's a thumbnail.
There is a thumbnail. Giant crab race. If only we could have moving thumbnails.
We probably could. I don't know.
I don't think so. Yeah. Do you guys have anything else to?
I guess that's.
I mean,
about
we didn't
it.
Mention the romantic interest in the movie as well.
Yeah,
she just kind of gets swept along
with
everything.
Which goes away anyway.
Yeah.
After the second.
Yeah, they literally just like push her away.
They literally write her off in a sentence.
It's kind of what they did with Natalie Portman.
They said that she was working off world or something, right? I don't
know.
No,
remember.
Or was she like.
Will Smith says something like. I forget what her initial was. But he's like, she just wanted to go home. I just helped her. Or she wanted to go back to the morgue. I just helped her.
Oh, okay.
So she.
Neuralized?
Got neuralized and went back to the morgue.
So that brings up something that I had just recently thought of. What if there are multiple. Like, obviously, people are going to join the MIB and have the same first initial.
I brought that up when I was watching it as well. I was like, so there's only one Agent J? Because, like, they look at the lockers.
Yeah.
And it's just each letter.
Unless you only have 26 MIB agents at a time.
But there's way more than 26
yeah,
in the building.
Definitely more.
And there's people in different sectors.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Like, the MIB isn't, like, an American organization.
Yeah.
It's a worldwide organization.
Right.
So, like yeah, what's the deal?
Yeah.
I guess
yeah,
you get the shaft. You have to pick a different one. Agent Theta. Like, they just start picking, like, Greek alphabet.
Russian alphabet.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, different countries would be different. Whatever.
Unless you double up initials. Like JT or something.
Yeah.
Even something. Then, though, you're gonna have a run.
Yeah,
yeah, it's still limited.
Yeah, you're still very limited.
Yeah.
I mean, it works for the movie, just
I mean, it's probably
you only have a handful of main characters, but at
yeah,
a certain point, it's like...
Yeah. It's just one of those things that you can nitpick.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's inconsequential.
Yeah.
It's just something that I thought about.
But I definitely noticed that. A weird thing that I noticed that I never noticed in the almost 25 years of this movie is when they come into the Men in Black headquarters... Nobody's wearing their jackets. They're all in just the white shirts.
Mm.
I don't know why I noticed that this time.
Mm.
But, like, nobody's wearing black coats except for, like...
So how great would it be to be the MIB agent that just sits in front of that elevator?
The fan.
Like he's got the best job. He just chills there, reads newspaper, does whatever. Make sure that the people coming in are the people that are supposed to be coming in. The people going out are the people that are supposed to be going out. You know, that's easy.
I love in the second movie, like, when shit's getting messed up, he's still just sitting there reading. Anyway.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, where they just, like, bust in and he's, like, sitting there.
That crazy lady in there is raising all kinds of hell.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Is he even, like, doing his job? Or is he
yeah, right?
Maybe he's just, like, so they should get rid of him. He sucks.
He's a liability.
I don't think he's in the third one.
I don't remember.
I don't remember.
I mean,
I've only ever seen the third one once.
So. I've seen
third
one a couple of times, but it was back when it came out, like, in 2012 or 2011, so...
I'd have a hard time ranking these, but... I like the third one just as much as
I like it
too.
A lot, too.
I
think they're all pretty
good.
It
goes 1, 3, 2 for me.
See, everybody dislikes 2, like, the
no,
most.
No, I don't dislike
no,
2.
I'm not
like...
saying, like, that you hate it or
yeah,
anything. I'm just saying, like, it's their least favorite, and I don't...
You know what it is, though, that makes 3 for me?
Yeah.
The fact that Tommy Lee Jones was the reason that James became...
Oh, no, it's a great
yeah,
story.
That's, like, one of the... I don't know. It's so weird, but that's, like, one of the most touching moments in movie history
yeah,
for me is, like, that he kind of takes him under his wing and, like, watches him
right,
until he's ready to become,
yeah,
like, an MIB agent.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
It definitely brings it full circle,
yeah,
but I don't know.
That's where they should have ended it. They never should have rebooted it.
I kind of like the switch in number 2 where Jay's the
yeah,
veteran agent.
Mm-hmm.
And then Like, he has to
relearn everything?
Yeah.
Do they neuralize him at the end of that movie? Or do they just let him live his life?
No, they're, no, Kay stays around.
Cause he's, does?
And
oh, right, right.
Yeah.
Now, because his wife left him, so he's like, well, I don't have nothing better to do now, so I guess I'll be an agent again.
Maybe Jay and Kay got neuralized, and that's why they rebooted it.
I wonder.
I wish that they would have done what they were... Like, this was all speculation at the time, but it was a couple years ago now. They were, like, going to do a crossover with the 21 Jump Street. That would have been fantastic. That would have been
I thought that was still on the table, but... But they were going
to
do it.
Lord and Miller want to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it would be great.
It would be great.
I mean, it'd have to be Will Smith and Tommy Lee Jones.
Oh, absolutely. So. You'd have to bring him up.
It would have to be them two and also Jonah Hill and
Tatum. Which they're, of course, going to do it.
I mean, Tommy Lee Jones is still making movies, so he's still around.
Will Smith, obviously, clearly. Still making movies.
Yeah.
And Jonah Hill and Channing Tatum are still, like... And they're good friends, too, so, like, they would definitely do it.
Yeah. That'd be a great movie.
No, that's another series of movies that are great, too.
Yeah.
Like, and that's why they should just mix them together, because they're both action comedies.
They're different kinds of comedies. Like, they're, like, to its core, Men in Black is a comedy.
Yeah.
So, like, but they're different styles of comedies. Yeah. I think that blending sci-fi, them together, like, I think that they could do really well. Because at that point, it would just be, like, the Men in Black guys are, like, the straight men. And then... Because, like, Will Smith plays, like, the goofy one.
He was goofy
Tommy
at first,
Jones
but...
is the straight guy.
Yeah.
So, you would just be, like, the Men in Black agency is the straight men, and then these two morons are the goofy guys.
Right.
You know?
And honestly, there's tons of ways you could do that. Like, they could be undercover in an investigation, and then just... happen upon the Men in Black and they're like, hey, this isn't your jurisdiction, like, and they go to, like, neuralize them, and then they're like, whoa. They're like, we can help you though, like, we have information on them. Like, and then they just get drug along with it, and there's so much you can do with it, like, where it'd be like, you have extra information on them? Like, no, but I don't want to get zapped with whatever they're gonna
say. I don't know what that thing is. I don't want to get zapped.
Yeah, that'd be great. They got a probe.
Okay. Like, it looks like a probe. No,
we just saw an alien. They're gonna probe us.
Yeah, that whole scene could take place in, like, a bathroom stall. Like, they're both, like, just, like, yelling back and forth at each other. They're, like, both standing on the toilet. And, like, meanwhile, like, Kay's standing right outside of it. Like, you guys done?
Like, smoking a cigarette.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Lord Miller, hit us up.
So I forgot about this, because this is also a question I still have. Like, I don't know the answer. That guy that's the receptionist at the morgue. The guy with the glasses, the nerdy guy, who also shows up in 2. Is that the same character, or they just brought that guy back? Because we go to his house, he has the collection of the Men in Black tapes.
I don't know
either.
But he gets stuck to the ceiling from the bug.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I thought he was dead.
Or he just immobilized him.
Maybe what it is, like, after that incident, he, like, dug deep.
Well, I guess he got neuralized, because everybody in there probably got neuralized.
Yeah.
It could be.
So maybe he just has an obsession with it.
Yeah. That's what my explanation would be.
Yeah.
That's about it.
That was Men in Black.
I mean, I think our ratings are pretty high, so do we even have to rate it?
I mean...
Speak for yourself.
Oh, yeah. I hate this movie.
I just came here to talk about it.
I mean, this is one of my favorite movies of all time, really. I guess I gotta go 9 out of 10. Like, I think it's timeless, really.
It really is. I mean, aside from some of the dated effects, it really is pretty timeless.
Yeah, I'm talking, like, from a story standpoint. Oh, yeah, like, there's fantastic. Nothing that specifically ties it to, like, you know, the 80s or the 90s.
Yeah, you're right. I'm stuck between an 8.5 or 9, just because, you know.
Yeah.
But I'll probably go 9. Yeah, it's great.
Sure, why not? I'll go 9.
All right.
I was going to go 8.5, and then when you both went 9, I was like, well, all
right. Yeah, I was thinking 8.5, but...
If I say 8.5,
I can't really look at this movie and be like, I don't really like this bit. You know, like, I have to justify why it's not the 9. It's like...
I don't think there's any part of this movie that I'm like, oh, this part. You know, like, it's just front to back, like,
just it's great. Fun action.
Yeah.
Fun comedy, fun action.
Well, there you have it. Our Men in Black talk. We have another recommendation coming to us by Agent A.
Oh.
Yeah, it is your turn.
No, yeah, you're right. I've been holding on to this one for a while, and Mike's going to enjoy this one because I know he hasn't seen it.
Oh, good.
I know you own it, but you've never watched it.
I got a lot of
And those. I just rewatched this movie recently, and I am excited for us to watch The Wrestler.
Okay.
I've never seen it either.
Because it's one of my favorite movies. So, and I know you and I have talked about it, and you own it, but you haven't watched it. I figured this was the perfect opportunity.
You know what's funny, Aaron? Is that I watch another podcast that have... I mean, I'm not going to be like... They have a similar one.
You don't just watch ours?
No, no. I base, like, our structure off of their podcast where they recommend it. They recommended The Wrestler for next week.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Which is crazy. Okay.
I've literally been sitting on that for, like, 2 weeks. So it wasn't like, wow, that's cool, though.
Yeah. Interesting cool. How that
I'll put my disdain for Mickey Rourke aside.
No, listen. Nobody likes Mickey Rourke.
But I don't know why.
But he is a fantastic actor, and he is great in this movie.
Yeah. All right. I don't know why I hate him so much.
I think a lot of people hate him.
All right,
he
guys.
He got punched too many times in the head.
I hope you enjoyed our discussion of Men in Black. We sure enjoyed having it. If you don't want to be spoiled for The Wrestler, make sure you watch it before our next episode, because we will be having a spoiler discussion about it. And we will see you guys next time.